You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today we're going to be talking about three words that you've likely encountered if you have a business where you are what's being sold, right? Your personality, your personal brand, relationships. And these words, say them with me, are no, like, and trust, of course. And I remember hearing these so many freaking times, especially when I go to networking events and some brilliant presenter who's teaching us all about how to network or how to be great marketers or how to position ourselves effectively as businesses and business owners, they will always utter these words. And yet, these are such empty words if you don't know exactly what to do with them or how to apply them. So thankfully, I have somebody who's joining me on this episode to help walk through what these words really mean, what you need to do to apply them in real situations in your business, and ultimately what you get out of all of that effort in building upon the relationship and growing your business by actually extracting revenue from the know, like, and trust activities. My guest today is Roberta Ravella, who is joining me from diagonally across the country in the Southeast. Roberta, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So before we dive into this conversation deeper, I wonder if you wouldn't mind recounting the story of how you and I first met.
Oh, we were in a podcasting networking mixer thingy that I was invited to by a friend that I met on a different podcast networking thingy, and he actually did my website. So then I've been referred to other networking things from that, and I've met some really good people from that podcasting network.
So you and I were placed into a breakout room in one of these Zoom networking calls, right?
Yes.
And I think it was just the two of us. There might have been a third person there,
but I can't remember.
Here's what I remember, and it pertains directly to the conversation that we're having today. I said something and you said something that immediately, at least from my perspective, and maybe not from yours, we'll find out in a moment, built all three of those elements. The no, right? I got to learn a few things about you. In fact, we talked a little bit right before we hit record about some things that you may or may not realize we have in common. We were talking about wine and travel, right? The like, well, there's something to like about the fact that you share interests and passions with other people. And the trust, well, the trust came out in that conversation. And I wonder if you recall, hint, I just reminded you of it before we hit record, what it was that that immediately clicked, for me at least, when it came to trust.
The word strategy. Because often when you hear people talk about marketing, they're only talking about techniques and they are not talking about strategy. So the difference being strategy is pervasive. There are a million ways to market and most of them work in some form, right? Or another. But when you hear someone only talking about, oh, I'm a TikTok person or I'm an Instagram person, or you should be doing video, or I will help you write copy. These are techniques. Now, honing your techniques is a great idea, but if your strategy is kind of sucky, the technique, the platform, the method, you know, bad messaging and video or copy is still bad messaging. Yeah. So yeah. The strategy connection, I think, is what clicked.
Oh, totally. And I believe that the way that it actually worked out was you said something about strategy and I almost called you on it. And then you demonstrated that you actually meant strategy and not tactics, which so many people confuse the words. And for any regular listeners of this show, they know that I rant on this subject a lot because of what you just said, the importance of actually using the right tactics or techniques to get the outcome you're looking for requires that you're actually thinking about those activities strategically, that you have a plan in place. How do you get from point A to point B or C or D, wherever you want to go?
Yes.
All right. Let's dive into the know, like, and trust stuff. And perhaps you can start by painting a picture of your background, the types of folks you work with, and why this is so incredibly important in that particular industry.
Okay. So I was in mortgage sales for 20 years as a mortgage loan originator. I will date myself here, but I originated my first loan in 1999. So as you can imagine, the way that we went out and got business in 1999 was way different even just a few years later. So from no website, little email, definitely no texting or any of that type of thing, we went from needing a website, having a lot of access to email. So it went from forced face-to-face. You had to come to the office to see me. You didn't have a choice. I had to go into a real estate office to meet realtors. I didn't have a choice. It went to the internet exploding in the space. So as you know, if you just have a lot of generic, everybody's the same, which is kind of how we marketed face-to-face. They got to know you because you kept coming in the office and they could see, you know what, Dave looks kind of nice. You know, maybe I'll talk to him. Or, you know what, I don't like guys like wearing golf shirts like Dave. I'm out. Right. So there was that sort of thing going on. But when you went to the faceless original websites, and a lot of them still are, but there was zero trust, right? So that forced face-to-face where you had to get in front of me, I had to get in front of you, was taken away from us. And the relationships were kind of broken in that way. So then we had to figure out how to go back to know, like, and trust. Like, if you're a loan officer now, to get into a real estate agent's office and actually see a realtor is difficult. You have to have an in somehow. And so we're bifurcated between in real life and digital. Most marketing that you see in my space, which is real estate agents, is who I primarily help, and mortgage people secondarily. Most of it is still very generic and it generates zero trust. So they're always fighting between, I don't want lead generation because leads are a name and a phone number on a piece of paper, which now you're dancing for dinner, you're chasing. How do I get to them? Once they answer the phone, how do I prove that they should talk to me? I've got to say something good or give them something or give them a discount or whatever, right? You're really fighting to get them to buy into you, as opposed to a referral where someone has said, hey, Dave, Roberta is a great realtor. You'd be a idiot not to use her. I know you're buying a house. Here's her phone number. And you're like, oh, great. And then you can ask me questions, like that transfer of trust that happens from human to human. So I don't know about other industries as much. I think it's this way in financial planning. For some reason, we've just pushed those to two different sides.
Yeah.
And we're not building trust on both arenas. Now, I jumped into marketing as opposed to sales when I read Perry Marshall's book, 80-20 Sales and Marketing, and was like, this whole crazy world was opened up to me. I'm like, oh my God, like, ah. So I went to one of Perry's Facebook marketing retreats and just delved into that whole world. And then you start hearing from a lot of other people, the know, like, and trust. How do you get them to know, like, and trust you? Blah, blah, blah. Fast forward over the years, out of the mortgage business, into coaching, and I got into marketing strategies because I do love marketing so much. I was kind of wrestling with this whole concept, right? How do they get to know you? Well, if you're going to do that digitally, it's going to take a minute. You need to have your message out there. You need to show what you value, obviously. But content marketing is a long-term game. It's a fight between getting somebody to notice you, getting them to consume the content, getting them to stay. How long is it going to take this know and like before I can trust? Well, I read another book, Stephen Covey's, it's called The Speed of Trust. Mm-hmm. Excellent book, but he's coming from a corporate point of view, from the branding point of view. But if you apply it through, the thing that struck me the most is for folks who aren't with some big corporation, right? I'm not buying Edward Jones or Remax. I'm buying this financial planner or this agent. That personal brand, again, is a long strategy. It's not like I'm opening a can of Coke and I know what's inside, right? So if we think about all the ways you can build trust, then obviously your social proof. You need your reviews. People can consume your reviews. They can kind of get to know your values through your customer's viewpoint. Tell your stories. They can see if you're even solving the problem they want solved. You're getting the result that they want to get. And then they can say, hey, I wonder if I can trust this person to do it for me. Okay. But think about the people you trust instantly. There are people that you trust instantly. If you called the fire department, you would not ask for reviews. You would not ask for a story. You wouldn't check their website. You'd open the door when they got to your house and you'd be like, please help me now. Here's the fire, blah, 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 whatever. If they said, jump off the roof, I'm going to catch you. You'd be like, okay. Now, some of that is institutional again, like the can of Coke. We know what's in it. It's a fire person, a fireman, firewoman. We know we're supposed to trust them. But also it's, let's go back to Perry. It's the bleeding neck. You don't have so much time to decide. You're either going to go back in the house to the fire or you're going to jump and let them catch you.
It's all context there. I think, you know, I was going to say a contemporary, he's older, but also known in the direct marketing space, just like Perry is, Dan Kennedy, who speaks mm-hmm. about this concept of the annoying pest and the welcome guest. Well, he had somebody long ago. Do you know the story?
Sort of. I'm not that familiar. It's familiar with Dan as Perry, but you know, Perry. Yep, is
it's this, and so this bleeding neck concept is exactly the point is that he had somebody who was beating down his door, knocking on his door, knocking, finally came around to the back of his house and started pounding on the window by his office because apparently he had a fire in the bushes on the front of his house. Well, initially he was annoying because, you know, Dan is like a recluse, doesn't want to talk to anybody, wanted this person to just go away. But as soon as the situation presented itself and it was emergent, well, this person was his savior for, you know, alerting him to the fact that there was a fire in his front yard. And I think that, you know, the point that you make about the fire department or even, you know, there's probably real estate emergencies, like people either financially need to get rid of their home to be able to be solvent or need to land in a place before a certain deadline. And I'm sure that there's many other permutations that I don't know in that space. Right. And I imagine most industries have things like that.
Yes. And the context is perfect. Right. So you can switch that around. As controversial as this topic is, a police officer is very contextual and cultural. In certain cultural instances, depending on how I was born and raised, I see a police officer, I'm like, yay, we're safe. How's it going, Mr. Officer? And in others, it's like, oh no. Right?
Yep.
So a lot of times we don't realize that just by the virtue of the industry that we're in, we can ignite someone's fight or flight, right? Real estate agents calling, oh God, what do they want? What are they trying to sell me? Mortgage person, I don't want to talk about rates, right? I don't want to refinance. That's okay. Financial planner, no, I already have my stuff with so-and-so, you know, a big bank or whatever. So you may be overcoming that cultural aspect and
preconception. Yeah.
So you may be overcoming it. So how do we overcome that and build trust? Now, they always say the no like is the way to go. Get in front of them, be consistent. Of course, you need to, because it takes a long time to get the message through. But I will say some other things to that. And let's go back to Dan Kennedy, direct marketing and this type of thing. You need somebody with a bleeding neck if you can find them. Always knowing that a bleeding neck is in the eye of the beholder. I have this a lot with my clients. They're like, oh, I don't want to solve problems. I don't want to do credit repair. I don't want to do down payment assistance. I don't want to, you know, slave over these deals. Everybody's problem is their problem, and it's a problem to them. Right. So the person who goes to, you know, the person with $10 million who's looking for a financial planner or looking for a real estate agent thinks their problem is just as bad as a person with $10 who's got to move. It might not be an actuality, but we still have that problem in that bleeding neck, right? So if you know the problem, you know the benefit of using you and you know the result, then you can turn your marketing strategy to speaking to that person directly And when they see themselves in their in your marketing, they trust you. You're listening to them. You heard them.
So one of the things that we often talk about is the belief of the person you're trying to engage as a client, right? What do they need to believe at what point in the relationship in order for them to move to the next step of the relationship? And so I, as I was hearing you talk about social proof and creating content and how you can shortcut some of these things or where stuff needs to be seen by a prospect in order to kind of say, yes, this is for me or no, it's not. I'm sort of curious if you've thought about how this maps out in, you know, what we sometimes refer to as the buyer's journey. In terms of the activities that a realtor or service professional needs to engage in, at what point in order to get the person to have the critical belief at that point?
Yes, I've actually learned it under a different name called deep funnel marketing, where in the funnel are they, or where in the buyer's journey are they? They don't know you at all. You're not going to be telling the same stories and saying the same things as if they've come down and they know you and they've been hanging out and it's obviously, you know, obvious they're interested, or even that they purchased from you before and are a returning customer. Your content's going to look a little bit different. Now, it might be the exact same content, just in a different manner. I think you should always put social proof in front of people, no matter what. But your content on that higher level where they don't know you at all may be a little bit more informational, turning into insight. Whereas down at the bottom of that funnel where they're getting ready to buy or they've been bouncing around in your marketing for a while, it's going to be way more personal. Personal stories and personal to them.
So let's dig a little bit deeper into the deep funnel concept. I've never heard that term. I like it. So let's give some examples of what you mean in terms of how something might come across personal. And maybe we should map out, you know, sort of the very general places that somebody might be in what we call the buyer's journey, where, you know, first they're sort of aware that they even are looking for a home in this case, or looking to sell or considering selling their home, right? Then they have to make the next step in the decision. All right, well, you know, what way or what path am I going to take, and or what type of sale am I going to consider? Am I going to try to do it myself? Am I going to engage a professional? What professional am I going to engage? How am I going to decide? You know, what's the criteria, etc. And then obviously the decision point where you've dialed into somebody and now you got to decide, yes, I'm pulling the trigger or not. Yeah. And there's more to it, but you know, that's sure. a general structure. And obviously they need to be seeing different things at each of those points in order for them to get that, the necessary know, like, trust at each of those stages.
Yes. And also, you want them to see you in different places, right? In sort of a maze marketing is what they call it. Not to overlay too many marketing terms, but say I look at your podcast, Dave, and then I go click on your Facebook from your podcast, and I see your stuff on Facebook. I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. And you've got the podcast recordings, but maybe you've put over the, you know, written some context to the podcast. Like for this one, maybe you write, you always hear that people should know, like, and trust you. What if it's not true? Well, that's doing two things. It's intriguing me. I'm going, huh, well, everybody knows you have to know, like, and trust. I wonder what he's talking about. So I'm either going to go, I really want to know more. I'm going to be like, oh, that guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about, which is another version of saying in or out, you know, to the client, but also just kind of dragging him in. And there you go. Okay. I'm willing to see what Dave's got to say. So now I'm going to listen to this other podcast. In that podcast, maybe I sign up then for your email. Like, all right, I enjoyed the podcast. I enjoyed what he had on Facebook. Let me sign up for this email that he's offering, the newsletter that you're offering. So then in the newsletter, you're going to talk a little bit deeper about things. You're going to get into the, not just the what of know, like, and trust. You're going to maybe give me some instructions. You're going to give me more stories. You're going to hit me with a call to action. Like, it's probably a straight one, right? if you like this, if you want to know more, this is my group. This is how you can hire me, how you can work with me directly, book a call. Well, you're probably not going to do that when they're just out there floating around in some more general content where you want the next step to be more content that just kind of brings them in deeper for two reasons. One, you're letting go of the people who aren't really interested. If they see your high level content that says, hey, you've always heard no, like, and trust, what if it's not true? And they're like, I don't really care about that. And they see another one like, I don't care about that either. Hey, let me unsubscribe from David. They did you a favor. They're not your client. You don't want to keep marketing to them. Now, if you pique their interest and they keep coming back for more, you know that there's resonance there. Like when you and I were talking at this networking group and I said strategy, you went, yeah, I wonder if she knows what she's talking about. And then I said something and you're like, oh, she does. So that was that, you know, open gate, closed gate kind of thing. So that sort of resonance creates trust as well. When I can see that you understand that we have a same value, or you piqued my interest because somebody said everybody has to know, like, and trust you. And I'm like, you know, I'm just so tired of that. And then I see you saying, hey, maybe this isn't true. I see some alignment, and alignment builds trust. We've got that little vibe. And then the more and the closer I get to you and feel that we have the same vibe, more and more alignment, I'm like, hey, I'm going to hire Dave for that $6,000 program that he's been offering. Now that I know him a little bit and I actually like the guy, and I have no idea what your product prices are, by the way, but you understand what I'm saying.
I charge a lot more, by the way. Yeah.
Okay, great. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the farther I can get in there. Now, I'm not a huge fan of a long funnel. I've got no patience for this sort of thing. You'll find these funnels that are just crazy long and sales cycles that are 5 years to ascension, right? But just taking someone in there, right? Slowly at a time. Are they intrigued? Does this mean something to them? Okay, where do they go next? Did that mean something to them? Do they really enjoy that? Can I offer them to buy something, to join a group, to what's the next thing that says, hey, if you want to come deeper, if this resonated with you, then this is the offer.
There's two things that you brought up that I want to circle back on. The first one is you were talking about moving from one platform of a business, you know, sort of content to another. And you gave the example of somebody listens to the podcast, then they, for whatever reason, go over to Facebook, and I don't have a Facebook presence, so they wouldn't find anything there. But that there's continuity between those things, right? That there's consistency. And if there's a lack of that, I imagine that breaks the trust pretty easily, right? The other thing that you mentioned was, and I'll let you comment on both of these, long funnels. And just in the way that we as small businesses witness what large enterprise businesses are doing with brand advertising and think, oh, we should emulate that because that's how you advertise and market, which is wrong, right? It's right for them, but wrong for those of us who don't have hundreds of millions of dollars to accomplish that, right? The long funnel thing is something we might experience as consumers for a product or a service or an offer that is very different from being a service provider. And perhaps that can impact somebody's perception of who we are, what we do, and whether we're a fit for them. Again, potentially impacting trust.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I will say on the first one, as far as continuity, confused mind is always a no, right? Don't ignite my fight or flight. Like I was over here and this guy was saying this, and now I'm over here and I've got what's going on here, right? Like, okay, I'm done. We have short attention spans now for this sort of thing. And the second thing with the long funnel, it's like, I'm just going to say this. I say this recently to a couple people and we all got a kick out of it because you get so many people who have these long funnels and it's like they're messing with you. Like, if you're going to text me at midnight, at least have the decency to ask for sex. Get to it. Right? I know what you're doing. I know why you're here. Get to it.
Yeah. Well, I think you and I as jaded marketers might read into that a little bit more than the average person. We sometimes forget that not everybody sees all of the stuff that we see. But yeah, I get the point.
Right. Like we're on to it, right? So, which is why everyone finds these DMs and the LinkedIn messages and these, hey, how are you doing? Like, okay, I looked at your bio. You're a marketer. I know you're going to try and sell me marketer. I'm fine. How can I help you? Like, just, I'm not telling you to be rude. Obviously, we don't want to be off-putting or, you know, transactional. Mm-hmm. But you can just say, hey, David, I saw that you're a fellow marketer and I see that we have a similar market. I loved your post or your podcast, and name the podcast. This is what I had. This is how it works. Do you think this would work for us as a collaboration? Or do you think this is something that would work for you? So you can be polite and nice about doing so, but I'm kind of a get to the chase kind of gal. Like, okay, I want to see what you got. I want to have some feel around it. Do I like this? Can I tell who this person is? I don't want to impulse buy. There are a lot of marketing and long funnels that go off impulse buy, which is that $10 this or the $9 that, or download the free stuff. It's kind of, okay, it's free. Click, fine. You've got my email address and I never look at your emails. As opposed to somebody who can really see if they value a line, which is the like, get to know you a little bit if it takes that. But to me, when you create values alignment, you go straight to trust. Then all the other stuff can kind of fit into place. And then I'm ready for an offer. Like, what are we doing here? And I generally want it to come pretty quick.
So we're talking about funnels which lead to a direct presentation of here's what I got for you. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what your take is on something that I've seen both realtors, mortgage, financial advisors, other sort of general service professionals do, which is position themselves as a resource in their community, right? So maybe it's a realtor who has a newsletter and they talk about the latest restaurant that's opened up and the, you know, which is the best dog park and all of that, and remind people, this is what I do for a living. If you ever need me, I'm here. Right. And so they're building the like and the trust and the know, but they're not necessarily overtly selling, and they're letting people graduate to sort of raise their hand and self-identify. And I imagine mm-hmm. that there's, you know, there's a way to be a little bit more forceful and direct and heavy-handed with moving somebody from being on an email list where you're just learning about cool stuff in your neighborhood to you know, becoming a client. But what's your take on an approach like that?
You know, I've seen it work very well for people as long as they're in a position where they can answer a lot of questions. Like if you're in a neighborhood Facebook group or you're in a neighborhood newsletter where you can, it's better if you're somewhere where somebody can contact you easily, like a Facebook group. You say this restaurant, or somebody asks, hey, is there a plumber in the area? And you put your guy and you say, hey, you know, I've been a realtor in this area for 20 years and I always use this guy, blah, blah, blah. So you can kind of add in there where you can get some more response back and forth. Next door sometimes can work for that, but it's hard. You got to sit on it. You got to sit on those Facebook groups a little bit too. But if you're just throwing out a newsletter with no call to action or no sort of story about what you actually do, sure, it can work. I mean, just sold postcards work. But it's a long shot, right? That's a true numbers game.
Yep. All right.
So if you're going to do it, my thing is have some sort of, if you are a blank and you want blank, I will do this. Find me here.
So you're still more direct.
Yes.
And ultimately that puts the business owner, the realtor, whatever, in control of a process. And based on the way that you just outlined it, again, going back to the know, like, and trust, it demonstrates that there is a process. There's a system that you have as a professional telling people, here's what to do next. And I'm so professional that I have you know, actually thought this out, and I have the path for you to move through if you're interested in my services. So
yes,
Roberta, we're just about out of time, and I want to make sure that we have a moment to sort of talk about the work that you do. You have a program, you have a mastermind, and the services that you provide, and for whom you provide them. So I'll leave it to you to enlighten us.
Okay. All right. The easiest thing for you to do is find me on YouTube at Realtor Marketing That Works. I have some things and resources there for you that are great. You can also book a call with me for a 15-minute laser strategy session there from YouTube, or go to robertarovella.com. What I do offer, I have full strategies for agents, real estate agents and mortgage folks who are looking to differentiate themselves in the marketplace and earn trust by, I call it forcing a choice, right? We can compete with everybody else who is, if you're looking to buy, sell, or lease, I'm your guy, I'm your gal. You know, if you want a low rate, give me a call. Okay. Or you can put out that message that says, this is what I do, this is who I do it for, and this is how I do it. So the people who know, hey, I trust that because that's what I need. That's the problem. That's the result. That's the benefit I'm looking for. So we design your marketing strategy around that, put it into place for you. And I have a full team behind me that can do all your digital and in real life marketing for you in that regard.
Well, that's awesome. So, of course, we will have links to both the YouTube channel as well as your website, which is robertarovella.com. And folks who are in the real estate world or adjacent who want to know more about what you're doing and whether you're somebody they could refer,
they can
find out more about you in those places. Roberta Rovella, thank you so very much for hanging out. This has been a fun chat.
Thank you, David. It's been great.
Folks, if you know somebody who can benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, and I'm pretty sure you do, please send them our way. Until next time, my name's David Baer, and this is More Perfect Marketing. We'll see you on another one soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.